Blog Talk Radio.
Cocoon. Hallelujah.
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 Abiyah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our sin-coming King, Father. We thank you for the breath of life, Father. We ask you that you forgive us for all our sins, Father, and that you give ear to our prayer. Father, we thank you for this Shabbat day, Father. We thank you for the week that has passed and all the strength that you have given us, Father, to endure all the trials and tribulations that came our way, Father. We pray that we take from it, Father, and apply it, increasing our knowledge, increasing our wisdom, increasing our understanding, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to grow us as your little ones, Father. Nurture us. Show us your kindness, your mercy, your love and understanding, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to protect us throughout this upcoming week, Father. We ask that you protect all of Israel that is on their way to serve you on this Shabbat day, Father, the time that you set apart for us, Father. Father, we ask that you open our minds and our hearts to your word, Father, that you give us understanding of your word, Father, and that we keep everything in the forefront of our minds, Father, and we put into practice all the things that we learn, Father, that we be better doers of your word, Father, and not just hearers. Father, we ask that you continue to watch over our brothers and our sisters that's away in the islands, protect them, edge them up, Father, for any type of calamity or anything that might attempt to befall them, Father. Keep them protected and hedged up, Father. We ask, Father, that you protect all of our Zakin and our Zakinans, female Zakins. Protect the elderly, the hoary hairs. Protect them mentally, physically, and spiritually, Father. Father, we just thank you for all the times that we have on this earth, Father, because they are precious. In Yahushua's name, we just give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed be Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Ho Shiva Israel. Okay. Shabbat Shalom, family. Hope everyone had a wonderful week. And if you didn't, it's Shabbat. Time for Abba to bask in Abba's glory. Hear what he has to say to us and spend time with our Abba, you know. Because one thing that I got a reminder this week of a good friend of mine passed away.
he died. Me and his wife worked together, and by us working together, I eventually met him, and I actually cooked for their wedding. And I remember the day he came in and proposed to her at the job, you know. And so over the years, me and him got close. He actually ended up working there, and we got close. And, you know, he's a good friend of mine. He died. Wasn't even 50 years old, you know. Wasn't even 50 years old. You know, I saw on Facebook, I don't get on social media as much as I used to. But this time I got on there, and, you know, she posted something about being up because her husband was fighting for his life. I said, I'm praying for your strength, sis, praying for your strength. And I didn't get back on for a couple of days when I came back to work. Her cousin works there. He said, man, you heard Fathead, you know, Fathead died. I said, what? 1:47 this morning. And that was a day and a half after I saw the post about him fighting for his life. You know, wasn't even 50 years old. He got 5 kids, you know. And now, you know, they, the two daughters are older, and they got kids of their own. But, you know, he got 3 teenagers who's never going to see their father again. You know, so these times are precious. You know, think about the Shabbat and it being even more precious that we are here, you know, because there are some people who yearn to see the Shabbat and can't see it no more. You know, they're in the ground. They don't get no more Shabbats. They don't get to bask in the glory of Yahweh no more, you know. Think about you just Abba giving you a mind to acknowledge the Shabbat, you know, because there's people out here running around doing whatever they want to do right now. You know, not understanding that Abba said, come talk to me. Come on, let's have a sit down. You know, and once you close your eyes, that's it. You know. So it's been a really wild week this week. And, you know, the one thing that, that when you teach, you always want to make sure that it's not you that's wanting to do something, that this is something that Abba wants you to do, Abba wants you to say. This is the next step within the progression of Yisrael, you know, and also the progression of yourself. Because I said it before, I'll say it again. The lessons that come forth are first for the one he's given to, the teacher himself. You know, we're learning like y'all are learning. It's our job. We're students just like you. You know, he fills us up and teaches us so we can teach you. You know, but with that being said, you know, a lot of times you don't want to, you want to make sure that it's not you. It's not your desire. It's not your will that's coming forth up here, you know. And sometimes that takes a while. You know, sometimes it's, you're not going to be sure. Sometimes you're going to go back and forth with it. You're going to tussle with it and this, that, and another. You know, and you have to talk to God about things. Like, look, Father, it's been many times, like I said before, you before, it's been many times I've wanted me to say stuff, but sometimes I don't know. Father, no, I'm not going to say that. And it had to be coerced out of me, so to speak. You know, it had to be something that I knew. I was like, Father, I can't say it this way. And show me another way. Or one time I prayed, I said, Father, if you really want me to say this, send some visitors. And a whole flock of people came in, you know. But things like when you do stuff like that, then you know it's not your will, you know. It's proving yourself. It's sort of like how Gideon said, look, Father, you want me to go to battle? I hear you, no problem. But this is what I want you to do first. If you really want me to go to battle, make this fleece wet and everything around it dry. And Abba did it. He said, okay, I'm not trying to tempt you, Father, but just to make sure it's you, do the opposite. You know, and he did that for you. Ask Abba for signs, you know. And so today we have an open discussion, because a lot of times, I mean, he gave me something to talk about, But again, I was kind of unsure about it. But we're still going to talk about it. But today is also an open discussion. So if anybody has any type of questions, ladies, sisters, if y'all have questions, send them through on the phone because y'all can't speak. But text them. And we should be able to pick them up through the internet. You know, as I believe Yaquel is on the switchboard, or I think Ahaba, you're not, okay. Okay, I believe Yaquel is on the switchboard, and if something pops up, send it through the thread with the 20 people, or however many people on it, if you have questions, you know, because I know there are questions, and with some things that transpired this week, it seems that there's a little confusion about some stuff, you know. And so if there is there anything that y'all need to speak about it. Because the one thing that we've been talking about for a little while is cleaning up the house. You know, we have to get this house clean. And I don't want to say people aren't taking it serious or they don't understand the importance of it, but it's our job as the priests, as the leaders of the congregation, to make sure that everybody does understand how serious it is, you know, even to ourselves, even brother to brother, you know, that this house has to be cleaned. A couple years ago, our brother, you know, Yaquel, did a whole series on sanctity, sanctification, which literally means clean, being clean, you know, and how the house of Yahweh was clean, and how we have to sanctify ourselves to the Most High. You know, it's not a coincidence that a little bit later, you know, we had the dream about the house being messy, but there is some confusion still here among Beth Yahweh. And today, one of the things we're going to talk about is having a like mind. You know, that's one of the things that I've put on my mind, you know. So, us having like minds, us having like judgments, us thinking alike and having, rendering the right judgments. All that comes from the teachers. Think about Israel. When we first started, when we first learned about the coming out of Israel, one of the things that was going on was that Moshe was taking on all the burdens of the people by himself. So he got a visitor, his father-in-law, Jethro, right? And Jethro inquired of him, asked him what he was doing, and he was like, look, the people come to me to get the word of Yahweh. And that was Moshe's burden alone at that time. So Jethro said, hold up, son. What you're doing, you're going to wear the people out, and you're going to wear yourself out. So this is what you do. You take able-bodied men of honor, men of respect, you know, that has this reputation of being an honorable man, being a man of respect. And you teach them. And then they will handle all these younger burdens while you handle the burdens that they can't handle. So that became a law within Israel, where you had, not the law, but the form of teaching within Israel, where you have a head guy who has the direct connect to the Most High, and then he teaches others to teach the people, right? That's how we all have like minds, because we have this one connection that leads back to the one teacher. So let's say you have a teacher, it ended up being you have a man over tens, a man over hundreds, a man over thousands, right?
So now you have a dispute. The man who's over 10 should have the same ruling as another man over 10, should have the same ruling as another man over 10. Why? They were all taught the same thing. Now, they're not, they might not bring it out the same way, but the ruling should be the same. The judgment should be the same. You know, one man in a matter as far as, say you have a matter of compensation. One man might go to this one scripture, where another man might go to another scripture. But at the end, but the end result is the compensation of the thing being the correct judgment, no matter where you go within the word. You know, because it's more than by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. Let every matter be established is what the words say. So it's more than one way, as the old saying goes, to skin a cat, you know. But the point is to skin the cat, you know. But when you have people who don't have like minds, or when you have people who don't adhere to the teachings, so to speak, now you have a disconnect going on, you know. So, first of all, let's look at something David wrote. And this is Psalms 35. Psalms 35, chapter 1. Everybody have it? Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. Psalms 35, a psalm of Daud. Plead my cause, O Yahweh, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of Yahweh chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of Yahweh persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. So you have strife going on right now, right? And in this case, David is pleading to Yahweh to fight for him. And on top of that, the people that come at him, but you deal with them. You persecute them, you deal with them. But now you, as we goes down, we see what's happening. It says, for without cause they had done that. Now you got people who just want to brawl, people who just aren't going to listen. Without cause, I'm trying to catch you into this net. It's not that, let me say this. Last week I said something about the transgender man getting a wound, right? But I was thinking it was a man. And let me correct that. That was not a man doing that. That was a woman. I forgot. Transgendered man, that's a woman. So the woman got the wound. It wasn't a man that was getting this wound. So let me apologize for that mistake. That's what will happen when you make mistakes up here, right? When you speak out of turn. Abba will correct you, and you have to come with humility. And you have to say it and make that and cause that error to be corrected. All right. Now, you have some people, when you make a mistake up here and the error is corrected, that they don't want to, so they want to hold on to the error. They just want to be what they call the brawler. They just want to go at it. So without cause, they have hit their net, and without cause, they have dug for my soul. Now, think about how this man is feeling Oh, wait, man. Why are you coming for me like that? Hold up. Why are you coming for me like that? I'm not trying to hurt you. And no teacher up here is trying to hurt you. No teacher up here is trying to mislead you or lead you astray. We speak as Abba shows us, right? Now, when we speak out of turn, we come back and correct the things that we speak out of turn about. We have to. Because when Abba shows us something different than what was said, we have to correct the people. It's our job to edify y'all. So if we misinterpret something or missay something or our opinion sometimes, or it could be our flesh, because don't get us wrong, it happens. Sometimes we feel a certain way about something, and it happens. That flesh don't get beat down quick enough. Now you just spoke out of turn. Here you go. Eating that humble pie again. Because you have to come back and correct that. As teachers, we strive to do the best we can. When we fail, we make those corrections as fast as we can. Because it's never our intent to mislead or misguide anybody. It's never our intent. Because our souls are on the line, whether people believe it or not. Our souls are on the line. I'm not up here trying to tell you any of my opinion. I'm not up here. I want to speak what thus saith Yahweh. So you can understand like I understand. And when I am wrong, you know, my brothers will pull me up. Brother, you got to say this. You got to do that. And the corrections have to be made. We do that with one another. We check one another. All right? It's never intentional for the things that come out here. We're not lying to you. All right? For lack of a better term. We're not lying to you. All right? So he says, for wild cause, they have hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Verse 8. Let destruction come upon him as unawares, and let his net that he has hid catch himself, and to all that very destruction let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in Yahweh. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Yahweh, who is like unto thee, which delivers the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good, to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. But in my adversity, they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me. That word abjects means the smiters, people who are trying to do you harm while gathering themselves against them. And I knew it not. They did tear me and cease not. With hypocritical mockers and feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Master, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling, from the lions. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me. Neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, yea, they open their mouth wide against me and say, aha, aha, our eyes have seen it. This thou hast seen, O Yahweh. Keep not silence, O Master. Be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my Elohim and my Master. Judge me, O Yahweh, my Elohim, according to thy righteousness, and let they not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, ah, so will we have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together and rejoice at my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let Yahweh be magnified, which has pleasure in prosperity of his servant, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. So, why do we read that? When you come against a man who is trying to do right by Yahweh, the prayer that we just read was David asking them to recompense, to reward them for their foolishness. You coming at me like this, you laying down a snare for me, let them get caught up in their own snare, Abba. You have these words and you think that you know a thing that you're going to get caught up in right behind it. That very thing. It's going to be a confusion to you. Your eyes are going to be darkened to it because you will not receive the words of a righteous man. You will not receive the words of the teacher. When people are, when we stand before you, again, well, let me just ask you like this. Does anybody think we are up here trying to do y'all harm? And if you do, why? I mean, y'all can type it in on the phone or whatever. That's a question for anybody in the congregation. Does anybody think any of the teachers are trying to do them wrong? And if you do, why? Let us know. Because the one thing that we have to do is clean the house up. We have to have these like minds, and that's part of cleaning the house up, all right? One of the things that the word says is that we're supposed to believe, Moshe forever, right? Yisrael is. Well, come a little bit later, said the teachers, or at the time it was the Pharisees, sat in Moshe's seat. Well, now you got the teachers up here sitting in Moshe's seat. Now, if we're telling you something wrong or doing something wrong, how? There has to be a trust between student and teacher. The student has to trust that the teacher is not doing them wrong. The teacher, and in our case, the teacher, when we go through, I know Abba is going to show me whatever Abba is going to show me. Now, if there's a mistranslation and interpretation, that's on me. It's not that Abba is telling me something wrong. I took it wrong, right? And that's why the correction has to be made. But there also has to be a trust between the student and the teacher, those who are being edified and the edified. What is the point of those who you're in college, right? You're looking to get a degree, but you don't think your teacher knows what he's talking about. How effective of a student are you going to be if you don't trust that teacher? It'll be better for you to move on to another teacher that's teaching somebody who you know is telling you the truth, somebody that you trust. It would be better for you to do that, right? Any questions so far or comments about anything? Right. In 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Okay. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. It says, Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of Elohim, the word of Yah, deceitfully, but by manifestations of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of Yah. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the mighty one, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Messiah, who is the image of Yah, should shine upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but Mashiach Yahushua, the Master, and ourselves, your servants, for Yahushua's sake. So, when stuff is coming across this pulpit and you don't believe it and it's right here in front of you, maybe you need to check yourself. Go ahead and speak, sis. Huh? Which one? 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry. I say Chronicles. I'm sorry. No, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I apologize. Okay, see, there you go. What scripture is that? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. My mistake. All right. So, as a teacher, let me read that part again. All right. I'm going to read verse 2. It says, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of Yah deceitfully, but by manifestations of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of Yah. We don't handle this word deceitfully. All right? When we are out here teaching, we are teaching the truth to the best of our ability. That's our job, right? And you should see that, right? Because it says it manifests itself to your conscience in the sight of man. It says, by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of Yah. You should see that we're teaching the truth, right? So the next thing it says, if you can't see that, if our gospel be hid, because something's hidden, you can't see it, it is hid to them that are lost. Sorry, that's what the word says. Sometimes you are not seeing, and don't look as lost as you're never coming back. Maybe you didn't set up and see something else we didn't talk about. Maybe you set up an idol. Maybe your or what you feel or how you feel or this, that, and another, you are lost on this particular subject. And until you knock that idol down, you're going to be lost. All right? So don't look at it. Now, don't look at it as they're never coming back or this, that, and another. Now, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's the problem. You don't believe it, and that's why you can't see it. Hasatan has blinded your eyes to certain facts. Even though it's right there in front of you, I'm not interpreting anything. I'm just reading. That's what it says. It's no need for interpretation at all. We don't have to go through that's what it's saying. Now, if you can't see that, what are you seeing? If you can't see what's dead in front of you, what are you seeing? What are you looking at? How are you looking at it? But again, if you're looking at this idol, and I'm not, now our minds are not light. We're not having the right ruling because you're going to see something a different way. You're going to see something Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. Sorry about that, man. I didn't know I said Chronicles. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. Hello, the Lord. Now this reads, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Now, understand this. We're going to have issues one with another. That's human nature. That's stuff that we work on. But when you start having issues with the doctrine that is being taught, now we have to watch it. Because that's what the word mark means. It means to observe. Observe that one. Why? Because if you have an issue with the doctrine that's being taught, and let me put it like this. If you have an issue with the doctrine that's being taught and you're not bringing it out to resolve that issue, because we're going to get to another in the book of Proverbs. You're not bringing it out to resolve that issue. You're not trying to get clarification on that issue. This issue is becoming a stronghold for you. You're holding on to this. This is your idol. Observe that one. Because what's going to happen pretty soon is going to become the whispers. And pretty soon the cancer is going to start spreading. Pretty soon the outlet. Now, cults are going to be filed. Cults are going to be filed, and you're going to have the falling away and all the things. Nothing good is going to happen because one person believed a thing that sounded good to another guy and sounded good to another guy, and now you have a division away from the truth. You have Christianity. One guy believed another thing that sounded good to another guy and sounded good to another guy. Now you have the Muslims, etc., etc. But every religion in the world that has taken from the truth, they fell away from the truth. At one point, there was nobody but Yahweh. But then it became this person and that person, and this sound good and that sound good, and let's get together and form our own stuff. Why? Man. Sin. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Verse 18, but they that are such serve not our master Yahushua HaMashiach, but their own belly, their own selves, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Something might sound good to you, but it's deception. It sounds nice to you. And you could be the smartest dude in the world and fall for the deception. That lunar sabbatarian doctrine sounds good, but the simple fall for it because they don't even want to count. That's the truth of the matter. They, at the end of the day, they don't want to count. If they do just a simple count, they'll understand there's no way. You can't. The last day of the week is the Shabbat, okay? If all the time the last day of the week is the Shabbat, and it's supposed to be that little half of what's meant, and the full, and the half, there's no way that you get that every week, because the lunar cycle is longer than, it's not even, it's not divisible by that at all. But you don't want to count. You're simple in that. And it sounds, and it's such a big following that people are falling away from the truth. They're missing the true Shabbat. They're missing the times that the Most High has set apart for his kids. This is the sign between me and you. That's what the Shabbat is. They're missing it. because they're falling away for the stuff that they want. The God of this world has blinded their eyes. Watch those people bring these doctrines in. Watch them. Mark them. Hold up, Bob. What you talking about? Because that's one thing that we don't want to have with the house. Already messy. Don't need it being more messy. All right? The more stuff, the more cancers that come in, the more we got to clean up. Right? So if there's any clarification, please speak up. If anybody need clarification on anything that's being taught or being said or this, that, and another, speak up. You know, just like we just had. I said Chronicles. Mistake. Speak up. It's a simple matter. You know, we don't want anybody to be confused about anything. Now, again, certain stuff is going to take a little bit longer for people to understand. Just like addition. Multiplication takes longer to understand than addition. Everything ain't going to be 1 + 1. It's not. That's the truth of the matter. But give it time. And keep on and let Abba do what he do. He's going to show you. He's going to prove it to you. It's going to be plenty of times I've heard many of things that I didn't understand over the years. But as time kept on going, okay, now I get it. You know? And at once, and I never thought anybody was trying to lead me astray. Because that's another problem. If you think somebody is trying to lead you astray, then you'll never get it. Because you don't believe from the beginning. You lost. Like the word say, you're lost. If you think somebody is leading you astray on purpose. So, Proverbs 22:10. Any questions or comments so far? All right. Proverbs 22:10 says, "Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease." So, you got an issue with something. You got an issue with someone, right? First thing you want to do is say, cast out the scorner, but let's resolve the issue. Because if the issue's gone, we don't have to cast out the scorner. But some people just want to bring the pain, as they say. Some people are just going to want things their way. How can you have a like mind with some people who just want to bring the pain, who are going to be the scorner, they're glad to be the mocker, they're glad to be the scorner. They're just going to believe what they want to believe. You know, it's like the dude who used to pop up in here every so often. And, you know, a couple times they let him talk about the guy with the Lunar Sabbatary and Dachshund, but then enough became enough. Nope, we ain't talking about that. You know, it had to be shut down. It had to be. You're just going to keep popping up and just popping up and popping up. And say, can I have a couple minutes? No, man, we know what you're going to say. You then came here a couple times with it. So what do you say? Cast out the scorner, and the strife shall reproach. And contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Guy ain't been back since. What? That's what the words say. When you do what the words say, the effects are marvelous. They really are. It's a highly effective word. But the thing is, we don't want to put these things into action. We don't want to put. It's easy to say the word is alive. Well, if it's alive, that means it has to do something. It moves. It functions. If it's alive, it does stuff. You know, dead things don't do anything. If the word is alive, when you put it into action, it's going to do what it says it's going to do. He said, "My word will not return to me void." It's going to accomplish whatever it is I send it out to do. So if I sent my word out and say, cast out the scorner and the contention going to stop, We cast out the scorner, and he ain't been back since. No more contention, no more strife, you know? But, again, you have these ideas. First thing you want to do, get rid of that idea. Hey, look, that's not this, that, and another. Let's talk about it. All right? Give us a little bit of time. If they keep on with that idea, then what? What's supposed to happen? If they keep on trying to bring a doctrinal difference, then what's supposed to happen? Do we allow the cancer to fester? Or do we have to cast out the swarm? How are we going to have like minds if there's one within us without a like mind? Just saying. Yes. Just making sure I didn't miss nobody. All right. That was Proverbs 22:10. Anybody got any questions or comments about anything? All right. Last couple of verses. Amos 3:3. We know this one. And it reads, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can they? It's impossible for you to walk with somebody that you don't agree with. Contention is there. Strife is there. And I'm just talking about on a physical level. Now, we know this is Yahweh speaking to Israel. You can't walk with me if you don't agree with me. We don't walk with each other when we don't agree with each other. How many times in just a regular relationship? I'm talking about, plenty of times I grew up, I got two younger brothers. Look, man, I'm not liking you. You go that way, I'm going to go this way. Even within the word, we find that Abraham and Lot separated. You understand what I'm saying? It's all kinds of stuff. When you don't agree with a person, that's what happens. Separation happens, right? So you got these two opposing ideas. Are they going to agree? Are your mind walking with that person? Right? Because we are supposed to be agreeing with the Most High. And again, if it's not one particular scripture that's going to say this, and this. This, and this. Hold up. What is the right judgment at the end? Whether I see it through this scripture and you see it through that scripture, as long as the judgment is the same and the judgment is of the Most High, we agree. But if you're seeing it this way and I'm seeing it this way, and neither we're not agreeing with it, there's a disconnect there. We're not coming up with the same thing. That's a problem. Because one of us, and it might be both of us in some cases, you know, is not hearing what Abba has to say. So, Philippians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. And this reads, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. So, me and you walking together. Say, brethren, be followers of me. And Mark, same thing. Observe those who walk like me. Why? The same, if he's walking like me and I'm your example, now they become an example too. If I'm not here, then look to them. You know, because Yahweh's not going to leave us unguided. You know, he's not going to leave us without an example, without, he's not going to leave us in the dark, right, for lack of a better term. He's always going to have his light somewhere, right? So he says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which so as ye have us as an example. Verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the stake of Messiah. So you got some folks walking with you that ain't walking like us. So look to me as your example, and people who act like me, people who walk like me, we're your examples. Those people that's the enemies of the stake, don't walk with them. Separate from them. Verse 19. Whose end is destruction, whose Elohim or whose mighty one is their belly, same thing, their self, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. You have self-serving people out here. When he talks about their God is their belly, they are self-serving people and don't want to walk like the man of God walks. But you have examples. So, but what are you looking to? At the end of the day, what is your eyes on? What's your focus on? Are you focusing on the man of the Most High? Or are you focusing on the earthly things? Are you focusing on your desires? Or are you focusing on what Yahweh's desires are? What's your focus? Where is it at? Because as long as we are having these like minds, these like rulers, everything's going to be cool. You know? But it's people who want to step outside of the box. And don't get me wrong. When I say step outside of the box, I mean step outside of what Yahweh has for them. Right? Not just the box. Because Abba ain't in no box. He encompasses everything. There's nothing that can contain him. Said the heavens of heavens can't contain him. And he gave us all this whole, the whole earth and everything in it to learn about him. So he's not within a box. All right? So, last verse. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? They're going to learn some stuff about their self, but it's not going to lead them to the knowledge of the truth because they don't have to connect with the Most High. They're going to learn some stuff about this earth. Not going to lead them to the knowledge of the truth because they don't have to connect to the Most High. They're forever serving their self. They're forever looking after their own lusts. Right? So again, we have to be like-minded in our rules and in our life. The word says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not to be divided, need not be ashamed, like rightfully dividing the word of truth. It's on you. You have to study. You have to do these things. We have to understand this word. It's not our job as teachers to do the work for you. It's our job to dispense the information to you, and you have to put it in practice. You know, if it's a ruling of this, that, and another, we'll tell you the ruling. It's your job to abide by. If you want to know what needs to be done, I'll tell you what needs to be done. You have to do it. And it's the same thing with us. When Abba tells us what to do, we have to do it. It's still that choice. It's no different. We're all in the same boat. We're all learning. We're all striving for that kingdom. Right? So, any questions or comments about anything? Any comments in the radio land? All right, that ends the Torah portion. That ends, ends the morning class. All right? Family, we still strive. We struggle with one another, but believe me, we're there for one another also. All right? Cool. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy, mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills. All the words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to our origins unfulfilled, but you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Abba, you mind closing us out?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hashem Yahushua Mashiach. Baruch atah Yahweh. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you do, all that you've done, all that you are. Thank you for bringing us all here today on your holy Shabbat so that we can be together as family that we are. Give you glory, praise, and honor. And all glory, praise, and honor be unto you. We exalt your name here today. Keep us safe, our family safe while we're traveling today. Just want to say thank you, Father, for the astute intelligence of the priests here in your house. It's a true blessing to have all these fine brothers here all the time teaching us. I learn a lot. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hashem Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen.